Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness. We thank you for who you are. And God, I just pray you would speak to us this morning, and I pray that you would give us insight how to live the life that you've called us to. So God, I pray that each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. And Lord, I do pray that also that you would give me words that I'd speak from the Spirit, Lord, and that you would be glorified and honored. And so we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the last several weeks, we've been looking at moral clarity. Moral clarity, and we looked at moral clarity as revealed through the scriptures, and moral clarity about behavior, moral clarity about marriage, moral clarity about children. So just all those different types of information. And of course, they have greater applications. And that is great to look at moral clarity as presented in the scripture. However, this is a big however. However, if moral clarity is absolutely worthless, unless we have the desire, and to carry out the things that God has told us. I mean, if we have, okay, here's moral clarity, but we don't want to do it, and we don't have any power to do it. I mean, it's worthless, but the last 4 messages have been worthless. Since I don't want them to be worthless, we're going to look at this morning, all right? Because what we need with moral clarity, we need to understand, it's very important to understand that not only does God give us moral clarity, he gives us the desire and the power to carry out moral clarity. Now that's real important, because if you just have, you come in and say, hey, we've got a bunch of good rules for you, not very appealing, all right? And quite, you know, often that's what church is associated with, is rules. But God doesn't do it that way. What he does is like, okay, this is moral clarity, the way I see things. But then he gives us a desire and power to carry out this moral clarity. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And so this wrap-up message here on moral clarity is moral clarity, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start off with all the other sections. I've started in the Old Testament, but I'm going to start in the New Testament with this one, because the New Testament is truly where the fulfillment of the answer is given us so that we understand. And so we're going to start off and look in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And again, putting this in the context of moral clarity and then having the power to carry out this moral clarity. And so Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Okay? Now, a lot of times, a lot of people just put period there, you know. But we need to look at what it says. Repent and be baptized. And by the way, repent. It's biblical, so you should use repent. Okay? It's a good word. And I'm just being funny, which is dangerous. I shouldn't be funny, okay? But I just see repent. I just see an old-fashioned Southern Baptist preacher sweating. Repent! I mean, every time I read the word, so I have to explain it. But that's fine. I love Baptists, and especially love the South, anyway. But I can't get out of this hole. I'm already dug into it. But anyway, what it has here, so it says repent. What it actually means is turn. That's all it means, okay? When you look up the written, it means turn. It says, okay, turn. You have this information, turn and take some actions here. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And hallelujah, we have eternal life because of that. But it doesn't end there, and this is really important. And this is in the same thought, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that happens when we accept Christ as our Savior and we're forgiven. Hallelujah. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Something comes to live within us. And what that is, is Jesus comes to live within us through the Holy Spirit. And so God gives us his very presence, the very presence of Christ. Now, that's important. We accept Christ, then he gives us his very presence. His very presence. The very presence of God and the very presence of Jesus. Now, excuse me. There's a verse in Colossians 1:27 we'll put up on the screen that kind of tells us, you know, it's telling us about this mystery that happens of our forgiveness. And Colossians 1:27 says, this mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, it's like, whoa, you know, this mystery is Christ in you. Now, so we look at this, and we know technically, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne, all right, in heaven. And it is actually the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. But the Bible will say Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, okay? And so it's interchangeable. But technically, Jesus is physically sitting at the right hand of God, and it is the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. So the Holy Spirit brings the very nature of Christ to live within us. So that comes with forgiveness. That comes with forgiveness that we receive Christ. Now the presence of Christ in us, or more literally the Holy Spirit in us, transforms us to behave the way God desires us to behave. Now we're getting into the moral clarity things, okay? So we see that when he comes to live within us, he starts transforming us to behave the way he wants us to behave. You see that? So he's giving us everything we need. So God transforms us to live out the moral clarity he requires. So he's not telling us, he's telling us, you know, and he's pointing it out. But now he comes to live within us so that we can actually do it. Amen? Now, here's a verse. I love this verse. I think there's so much tied into this. And as we look at this verse, it helps give us some understanding of what goes on inside of us, what goes inside of us, so that we can carry out what God wants to do. Because we're not just a place of a bunch of rules, okay? Something happens. Forgiveness happens, but there's a transformation that happens within the Bible when we trust on Christ. So listen, I want us to look at this verse. And I think this verse goes a long way to explain what happens. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And again, I want to reemphasize what we've talked about the last 4 weeks or so. We said, look, here's a scripture. This is a to-do list. Do this, okay? Behavior, good behavior, bad. This is behavior. Marriage, this is what marriage is supposed to look. This is what you're supposed to do, you know? And it's like, and this children, this is what the children what's supposed to do. And if we leave it there, we should be all totally convicted that we probably don't want to even get up in the morning. Because I don't read the Bible enough. I'm sure not behaving the way I do. And I don't know that my marriage is quite reflecting Christ in the church. And the kids are totally out of control. I think I'm going to find another church. Jeez, you know, this is no fun. But the point of it is that God gives us the power, trans us from within, and gives us the power to do all those things he told us to do. So it's huge to look at the Holy Spirit and the thing of moral clarity. The church is not, the true church is not a bunch of rules. The true church is empowered. It's empowered, all right? So here we have, it's kind of explaining how this happens. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'm going to read through it and then go over a couple of things. It says this, we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So here you've got this whole thing coming together. We're beholding the glory of the Lord, or we're beholding moral clarity. We're beholding what God says. And then from within we're being transformed, what? Into the same image of what we're beholding God from one degree to another. How many of you vote for quantum leaps? you know, quantum leap. And then I'm super Joe Christian, you know. And it's like, no, it's going to be one step at a time, one step at a time, three forward, and then one back, and then three more forward, you know. And that's what, and so he's telling us, he's explaining that we're going to be transformed, you know, by one step after another into his glory, into his image. So we have this view here. And then it says this, how are we going to get it done? This comes from the Lord. Who is what? Spirit. What did we receive when he accepted Christ? Spirit. He said, so we're forgiven. He said, okay, you're forgiven. And now this growing by degrees is going to come from the person you received when you believed. It comes from the Lord. And degree by degree, he's going to move you forward. He's going to teach you, you know. And it's good if we cooperate with him. It really is. You know, we could grow a little faster if we cooperate with him. And some of us are not very cooperative, you know. Me, I'm not very cooperative, you know. And so it takes a little more effort on some people. But he doesn't give up on us, and he usually wins out. He usually wins out. So this is what this verse is telling us. This is what's happening. So in Acts, it told us how we received Christ and we receive forgiveness of sin, and we receive the Holy Spirit. But this verse here tells us exactly what is happening in our lives. And it's happening whether we want it to or not. It's helpful if we want it to. Okay? It's helpful, you know, that we can cooperate with God and grow in the Lord instead. You know, are your kids? You know, here, we're going to go to the store. And they got both feet in the dirt screaming. And you're going. You know, see, that's us with God most of the time. You know, come on, we're going. No, we got both feet in the dirt. We're screaming, you know, but we get there. If we kind of figure out what's happening, hey, we're going to go. Oh, man, me and Jesus will go. I'm ready. You know, then things kind of start clicking. You see what I'm saying? So this is, gives us kind of view here. Now, what's also, when you look at this verse, is in the original Greek language, the word being transformed is the word from which we derive the English word metamorphosis. Like a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. It's the same word. So in the same way, God is transforming us by the Holy Spirit, just like a caterpillar is being changed into a butterfly. He's doing the same thing. We're being changed. The metamorphosis, you know. And I just... just for fun, you know, I just kind of picture a church full of caterpillars, you know, and they're going to heaven, you know, and some of you wishing they'd go to heaven sooner. I mean, it's just like, it's the whole church full of caterpillars. Oh, can I come over your house and just crawl over your skin and just eat dinner with you? You know, oh, gosh, you know. Now, but they're alive. They've accepted Jesus. They are forgiven. They're the forgiven little green caterpillars, all right? Well, that's what the church is a lot of. And that's what, well, why doesn't everybody just get along in the church? Because they're a bunch of caterpillars, see? They're alive. They're alive. But in this metamorphosis that happens as we grow, and you break out of that cocoon, and all of a sudden this beautiful butterfly comes out. See, and you like walking to church and everybody's praising, praising, and praise songs. And it's just like full of beautiful butterflies. You know, it's just, oh, this gorgeous, beautiful butterfly. That's all it's just beautiful, you know. What it's because a metamorphosis has taken place. It started out as a caterpillar. Now I'm talking about believers, you know. I'm talking about believers. That when we come to know the, like when you had your children, you know, you can't, they're yours. You love them to death, you know. And they run around in diapers, pooping their pants. All right? But you love them. You love, but you can't kind of let them go. You know, they're alive and they're moving and it's exciting, but it's like you're not giving them the car keys. You know, just a bunch of stuff. I mean, not giving them the car keys. You don't even want them outside by themselves, all right? That's kind of like the Christian life. You know, we come in and boy, we're excited about Jesus running around, you know, in our diaper, pooping our pants, but we're excited. You see what I'm saying? And so what God starts working with us, you know, so that we can be, you know, have that be transformed into that butterfly to carry out his ministry and have a message. So doesn't this explain a lot? Somebody said, how could you be a Christian to do that? Because he's a caterpillar. That's why. You know, he's a stinking caterpillar. He'll come out of it. You know, let's walk together. You see what I'm saying? So God is recognizing. And by the way, this isn't to the world. This is to the church. This is so we can figure it out. We can figure it out. And so we can walk with one another, walk with the Lord, and then we can grow. And we can grow. Now, so you see this picture, what God has said. Forgiveness. And receive the Holy Spirit, and there's this transformation from within that takes place. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers in My Utmost for His Highest. If you don't read that devotional, I highly recommend it. But this is what he says about this transformation. He says, the redemption means, and the redemption means just to buy back, okay, buy back. The redemption means that Jesus Christ can place within anyone the same nature that ruled his own life. Now think about that. Redemption means that Jesus places within the believer his nature. See? So Jesus can place within anyone the same nature that ruled his own life, and all the standards God gives us are based on that nature of Christ in us. God, I don't know, do this. I don't know why you're telling me to do this. I don't like doing this. It doesn't make any sense. All the time, Jesus, the nature within us, I know what I'm doing. If you get in touch with me, you'd know what we're doing. You know why I'm doing this. Again, I go back to your kids. Come on, it's time to go to the store. Time to get up. No, but why? I don't want to go. See, that's what we do. You know, and God, listen, you're going to be better off. So what he's saying here, what Oswald Chambers is saying, is Jesus places in a heart of a believer his nature. And then he gives us standards based on Jesus' nature. See, so we're getting transformed as we get in step with what he's teaching us. And this is very personal. There's an old evangelist I had opportunity to meet, and he's going to be with the Lord. His name's Ian Thomas. And he would say this, it's succinct. It's funny, some people, older they get, the more succinct they get. And he says this, the Christian life, now hold on, you just hold on to this. The Christian life is Jesus behaving in us. See, here's Jesus. He's behaving like Jesus. Wow, that's really special. He comes to live within us. And what is the Christian life? Jesus behaving in us. And we start doing what he says according to his behavior. So it's, and he would say, see, it's real simple. And I'm going, you know, like took me 4 years to even understand what he said, you know, and then it kind of got a hold of. And then when I figured it out, I said, ain't no way I'm doing this. You know, I can't, it's overwhelming. But that's it. But see how simple that statement is. The Christian life is Jesus behaving in us. Now let's go back to that Acts verse. See where it says in Acts 2:38. It says, be baptized, your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus' nature. And then he's going to give us rules based on Jesus' nature. See? Oh, yeah, I know what that is. I feel good about that, you know. Or Jesus feels good about that, and I'm feeling good because he's feeling good about that. Because it's working within us. There's a transformation within our heart, within our heart. So, when we accept Christ, we're not only receiving forgiveness, but we're receiving Christ's nature. Now, to have a kind of double power impact, y'all want some more power impact, okay, how we get this done. Here's something else. And to me, this is fascinating. And over the years, it took me a while to kind of process through. It took me a lot to process through this. But not only do we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us when it presents the Holy Spirit, it presents it as a person, just like Jesus. Jesus comes to live within us, and he starts transforming us. Well, the Holy Spirit really is the one who is a person, comes to live within us, and he starts transforming us. Okay, that's what we're talking about. But the Bible also says, we receive grace. We receive grace from God. Okay, that's like separate. We get God's grace. We got the Holy Spirit, but we get God's grace. Now, and I'm sure you read the Bible, it's full of grace. It talks about grace. People preach on grace. But the definition of grace in the original Greek language has an expanded meaning. In the Greek, it means graciousness to and favor. It means that also. But it means this too. This is added to it. In the Greek, it means, grace means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So I want to receive grace. So you receive grace, and it's a divine influence in the heart. Something's happening. Influence in the heart and a reflection in the life. I'm having an influence in my heart and I'm acting it out. There's a reflection. That's grace. So grace, the influence in one's heart will reflect in one's life. We can say that grace is the power of God to live out what God tells us. Grace is the power of God to live out what he tells us. I live by the grace of God. I live by the power of God. I've been saved by grace. I've been saved by power. So therefore, we can say that we are living by grace, or we're living by the power of God. In fact, do this sometimes. This is fascinating. In fact, every place in the Bible where you see the word grace, you can legitimately substitute the word power. Just substitute it. So, grace, grace, grace. I think of some songs like that. Power, power, power. I mean, that's what it's saying. I mean, it has a meaning by that. The Apostle Paul says, I live by the grace of God. Good. Just gracious favor of God. What is he saying? I live by the power of God. Oh, he got a little more sting to that one. See, he says, no, I live by the power of God. God's given me power. So we have that picture of grace where God is giving us power to live out the things he's showing us, okay? So we're getting this idea that there's a lot of power floating around here in the Christian life that God has for us. Now, what I just want to look at here, in Philippians 2:13, there is a good definition for grace. Now, God doesn't use the word grace here. He doesn't use it, but he uses the definition, all right? We do that. Sometimes you'll use it, you know, word, or you'll use its definition to expound it. So in 2:13, what we have here is a good definition of grace, although God doesn't use the word grace. And it explains here how God transforms our behavior and our actions. All right? Something's happening. Not just us plugging away. You know, something's happening within that we're cooperating with. Okay? Let me read through it, and then we're going to go over it. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure. Now you read through that, and I've read that through years, and that's good. It's kind of a comfort verse, you know. Say, amen. But when we look at it, it says this, for it is God. Okay, now we're looking at all this stuff. How are we going to get through it? How are we going to get through life? How are we going to work through moral clarity? How are we going to do it? Brother, it is God, okay? We must understand that God is the source of all our power in any moral clarity. It's God's the power. How do we get through it? It is God the power. That's what it says. He starts off, it is God. Then he says this, it is God who works in you. Okay, that's good. It is God who works in you. Now that word work, interesting, it means to put forth power, empower, or energy. So it is God who puts forth power in us. It is God who gives us energy in us. So here's the situation, moral clarity thing. It is God, and he is putting forth energy coming from within. Oh, I can't do it. I'm trying, sweating, nothing's happening. Lord, I want to give up. Ian Thomas, I love him, the one I just quoted. And he says, people come up to me, he says, I just hate the Christian life. I just giving up. He goes, praise Jesus. You gave up. That's what God wanted you to do all the time, was give up. Now, he'll give you power, but he can't give you power till you give up. Y'all registering with this? See? And he says, so part of the getting the power is the giving up on our own efforts. It's all right, God. So this is what this is saying. So it is God who gives us energy. Then it goes and says this, to will. You know what it is? He gives us energy to will. What does that mean? It means that he gives us the desire. You know, I talk to Christians, and they don't have any want to. You know, they don't have any want to. I love my brother-in-law's ex-football coach, and he talked about kids. He said, they don't have any want to. You know, all the ability in the world, but they don't have any want to. You know, I see a lot of Christians, good people, they don't have any want to. Hey, we're going to have a, you know, Bible study. They ain't no want to. I ain't coming. You know, they don't want to. You know, have a prayer meeting. They ain't no want to. You know, well, now they'll have 14 different things they've got to that they want to do. I can't because of this and this. But you're going, nah, these ain't got any want to. You see what I'm saying? Because they had want to, they'd show up. You know, because you show up to everything you want to. Anyway, so what God gives us is want to. A lot of Christians ain't got no relationship with God, so they don't want to. See? And so this is what he's saying. Oh, God gives you energy and the want to. So it's like, oh, that's grace. And then it goes on, and he uses this word again. He gives you the want to, and the work. Goes back to number two, same word, work. And he gives you the want to and the energy for his good pleasure. So here's the moral clarity. Here's what he wants you to do. Here's the situation. He gives you the want to and the energy to do it. You know? And so what happens, and you got to look at the Christian life, the Christian world. You know, people got a lot of want to do a lot of things, a lot of energy to do a lot of things, you know. But you say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We need some things going on in the church. And you got, all of a sudden, we don't have any want to and we don't have any energy. You see what I'm saying? But what does that tell you? Now, here's where the conviction comes. No rules, but here's where the conviction comes. Where's your relationship with God? Because if you have a relationship with God, you got want to. And you got energy. See? It's a relationship. Somebody's loving Jesus. Oh, they're excited. They're excited. Then they have want to. You see what I'm saying? So we just need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves. But that's in that great verse. Isn't that great? When you see what those words say, So, now think about this. The scripture gives us moral clarity. However, God himself gives us grace, the power, and in our internal being to what he has revealed. Scripture gives us, we see it, but the grace within gives us the capacity to do it. Now here's something. If we look at this, not only does God give us grace, the power, the want to, but God also gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us in power. Now, I don't know how all that works. I just know it's both there. That God's given us grace, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. So we got a double shotgun of power working within us. I mean, we should just be shaking the world up because we got God and a double dose of power to do what he says. And it's by trusting him. So if we look at this, then we can look at these verses, and these verses have deeper meaning. When we start thinking of them like that, we have a deeper meaning. Like this, Galatians 5:25. Now, based on everything we said, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What are we doing? We're just keeping in step with the Spirit. So there's this transformation coming on. God is teaching us, and he said, now just keep in step with what I'm doing with you. Now, I won't make a point here, which I don't have to make, but I'm going to make it anyway. He's not talking about what I tell you. See, he's talking about what he tells you. See? So the point of you is personal. What is he telling you? How is he leading you? Keep in step with that. So, as Christians, now I want to tie all this together. So you can see why this is important, no moral clarity and all these other things in every aspect of life. Now, and again, this applies to every aspect of our life. And this is a learned thing. I mean, we learn this, okay? There's no spiritual gift of maturity. You know, wouldn't you like to give that to your children? 10. They're 2 years old. I'd like to give you a spiritual gift of maturity. You know, so you could act like at least you're 10. You know, something, you know, not going to happen. Well, in the spiritual world, it's the same way. There's no, you have to grow. There's a process. You grow, and so God will teach you through all sorts of things. So in every aspect of our life, and that's the key point, and we're going to grow in it. And that's the reason we're making the last section, the moral clarity. Now, what I want to do is right quick, I want to touch on some of the social subjects we looked at. We're being bombarded in this world. Okay, the world's lying to us, and we've looked at the moral clarity. But what we want to look at is how the Holy Spirit helps us to carry this out. It carries it out for us. Now, we could just see these different things. That's wrong, that's right. That's wrong, that's right. That's wrong. And that's what typically the church is known for, and it becomes very judgmental. But I want to approach it different than calling it right or wrong, okay? I want to approach it based on what this section of Scripture says, all right? It's a movement of the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It's this, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. So, bear with me. The world says, it's okay to be homosexual, okay? But God says, you're out of step with the Holy Spirit, okay? I didn't call anybody wrong, did I? God said, no, you're out of step with the Holy Spirit. You're out of step with the nature of Christ. You're out of step of who's within you and what the Scripture says. So, the world says it's okay to be transgender or whatever. God says, wait a minute, you're out of step with the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. The world says it's okay for a guy to marry a guy and a woman to marry a woman. That's okay. God says you're out of step with the Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? What's the issue? You can see what God is saying. So he's putting it not right or wrong. He's putting it what your very nature is. What your very nature is. You see the difference? Now, let's just make one up. Okay, we'll just make this up. But it gives you a good example. Say the world said, take any other sin you can think of. The world says, it's okay to be a thief. It's okay. You know, and we're going to say, but God says, you're out of step with the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, now, it also helps in how we deal with these things. You know, have you ever just tried, that's wrong, you're going to hell. You know, it's not a real good evangelism tool. It just, you know, I don't know. And it's way keep your neighbors away. I mean, it really does. I mean, if you find somebody you don't like, okay, going to hell. I can find something, that's for sure. But what it is, it's like, no. It's like, why do you believe it? Because it's in step with the Holy Spirit. You want me to explain how to receive it? I mean, you see what I'm saying? This is what the Bible says. What the Bible says. So hopefully that's helpful that we can understand. It empowers us and also communicates it in such a way where we see it is God working with individuals and God is the one who put the standard. We didn't just sit around and think this stuff up. See? He's the one that did this based on the Scripture. And then he gives us his nature and wants us to behave according to his nature. Now, so wrapping this up, we have to understand that when we accept Christ, we are not accepting another set of rules. We're not. When we accept Christ, we receive the person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and are being transformed into his image. Okay, you accepted Christ. Now, this is the stuff you need to do it, and you need to do it yesterday, now. You know, no. You introduce something. Christ. Someone to Christ. All right. And he lives within us, and then we start being transformed. We don't just follow a different set of rules. Now listen to this. We don't just follow a different set of rules. We are a new creation. Galatians 6:15. For neither rules counts for anything, nor the lack of rules, but a new creation. That's what you got to have. This is a new creation. New creation. Now, so here it is. Now here we're going to put everything together. You put everything together. Oh, this is how the scripture shows us. Then we see moral clarity. And then God, through the Holy Spirit and his grace, gives us the capacity to live out what he just said. That's for Christians. What about non-Christians? What do non-Christians need? One thing. They don't need to act better. No, they don't need that. What is the one thing non-Christians need? Christ. I mean, it just narrows it down. It narrows it down. Our subject, they're talking about all these social issues. Lost people doing what? Lost people doing. Why are we shocked? Okay, you know, we have one message, Jesus Christ. That's our only message. What do you think about that? I don't know. I just know about Jesus, you know. Now, you know, they're trying to throw you off. Just say, I just want to talk about Jesus. You throw them off because they don't want to talk about Jesus. You know, they won't get you in a fight, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And so here's what we live. And so we're here with the verse every Christian in the world knows. John 3:16, right here. This is it. Anyone outside the church, this is what we say. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. What about transvestites? If he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not perish and have eternal life. Or it, or she, or whichever. You know, but trust. Okay, what about this? If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll have eternal life. Now, we know another piece to that. When they receive Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit.